Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
I adore you.
Praise you, Father.
Our eyes are on you, God.
Jesus, I love you,
our
Father.
Eyes are fixed on you, Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, God.
Praise you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord.
Christ, oh
Jesus.
The one we long for.
Praise you, Father.
The one we want to be like.
You have the sweetest name.
Just like
you are my soul's refrain, and I worship you. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain, and I worship you.
Jesus,
you have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain, I worship you, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You are my soul's refrain, and I worship you. Oh, you have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain, and I worship you.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, Lord. We worship you this evening,
Jesus.
We worship you, Almighty God.
We
worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord.
We worship you, Father.
I praise you, Holy Father.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Jesus.
I praise you, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We worship you,
Father.
We are created in you, Father.
We worship you
to bring you glory.
We worship you, Father.
We're created after your image, Holy Father. As lit candles here on earth to bring you glory. In all that we say and do, Holy Father. May we never forget the reason, Father, that we're born after your image, Father. To follow Jesus and to be fishers of men, Lord. To be fishers of men. We are here, Holy Father, to bring you glory. And we worship you and we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. If you could find that little medley for me, Mavis, I'm sure you know already, your brother's medley. Thank you, Mavis. Glory. I've been excited for about the last few days to bring forth the word today. I've been real excited. Real excited. Take a little side note before I even start. The Holy Ghost has had me in the Gospels and in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and 1 John till the day I utter my last breath. I'm sure that'll be my book. So stay away from it, please. That's mine. You're not allowed to read it unless you call me, and I might think about letting you read it. But these words that Jesus said They're having an effect on me, and they had an effect on two sets of brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John. Simple words, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I've wondered, and I've heard those words, and see, I want to follow Jesus. He said, follow me. They left their nets and they followed him, and I will make you fishers of men. But in Matthew 4, he gave a precise instruction. He gave a perfect blueprint on how they would be fishers of men. Maybe within 10 words, he gave the perfect blueprint. Boys, for right now, just be quiet and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Matthew 4 to a T tells me and you how Jesus Christ, the Messiah, taught the two sets of brothers how to be fishers of men. The Bible says, and from that day he began to preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom. That is how he taught them. They beheld the gospel and they heard the gospel of the kingdom. And I know we're on the right track here, because going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, I know for a fact. How do you know? Because I hear the word of God and I read it. You follow the ministry of our Savior and of the 11 plus Paul. Salvation and miracles, they were always together as one. Always. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Then a few words later it said, and he began to preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. They were never meant to be separate. Well, who separated them? Schools of theology? Some schools of theology, let me rephrase. Seminaries? Doctrines of devils? Deacon boards? Religion? But they were never ever meant to be separate. You won't find in the Gospels and in the writings where they were ever meant to be separate. See, it's easy to tell somebody about Jesus. You can be mean and tell somebody about Jesus. You can walk in hatred and strife and tell somebody about Jesus. But this might shock you. If there's no substance, if there's no love, if there's no Holy Ghost involved in those words, to an extent, they're vanity. Because it's the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, not articulation or remembrance of Scripture. So on this journey, I want to follow the perfect prototype on how to be a fisher of men. And as I behold Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the epistles, I'm being taught daily how to be a fisher of men. And let me tell you something. Being a fisher of men, yes, we have to share words. Being a fisherman will sometimes cost you your life. Spiritually and even physically. That's not heard of nowadays in the modern day teachings of the gospel. Blessings, 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 blessings. You give your 10% and you will be blessed. Fornicate, commit adultery, but you give your 10% and you're blessed forever. Not the gospel that I read. What makes you right? His word makes me right. We're on the right track. I can see it more and more every day. What we've been hearing on Wednesdays and Sundays, it leaves me numb. It leaves me sane leaving this church. May I love you more in the air that I breathe. May this lifestyle of praying and fasting be forever, Father, because there is a cause. May I love you more than my own selfish ambition. May every single ambition in me be eradicated, Father. Place your desire inside of me, Lord. When I heard Pastor Bronk Wins, all that I had in me as a man to not just weep on the floor. When I heard about the faithful martyr. What was it, Articus, or what was his name? Anyway, about how he... Antipas. How he was martyred. I don't know what burnout is as a preacher. I don't know what burnout is, what it means to be burned out. I don't know what it means. I know we are on the right track. I'm going to tell you this, and please don't take this wrong. Please do not take this wrong. If you have an ear to hear, you will not take this wrong. We all know there's a young adult conference coming in July. We all know that. Me and my wife will not be attending for no particular reason other than I want to stay here. You guys are grown. Most of you are over 25. You don't need a chaperone. If you need a chaperone at the age of 25, then Pastor Bronk has not done his job in the pulpit. If you need a chaperone at the age of 25, it's his fault. But this conference is coming up. It's a young adult conference. Listen to this carefully before you stone me. I received so much. I had a great time of fellowship with Harry and Robert. I got to know them real good on the last, that youth conference that we did. But let me tell you something. And hear this. If you're waiting until July to get back on fire for God again, something is wrong with you, because the words that have been taught here every Wednesday and Sunday, those in Tulsa are learning. We're all learning from each other. But if you're excited to get on fire, in other words, you're going to take 3 more months off till the conference starts in July. If you're going to wait till July for 1 week to start reading again, something is wrong with your walk with Christ. It breaks my heart to hear what's the mysteries that have been hidden for ages in God's word. What Pastor Bronk through the Holy Ghost has been just springing forth out of his spirit. It's amazing what we've been hearing. If you're going to wait 3 more months to get on fire for God again, and I agreed with something when we came back from that conference. I agreed with you to an extent, not in a bad sense. You made an unmeditated statement and I gave you an unmeditated answer. Many of you said to me, it's different, Homer. We were blessed because he's our age. And when you see a man our age preaching and teaching and walking this out, it inspires us. And I said, you know what? You're right. But you know what? I was wrong. You know why? Because Pastor Dave is in his 70s and I'm 48. Pastor Dave is 70-something. I'm 48. I'm not good with math, but that's a 20-something-year gap between a man that I've never seen. That, my friends, is logic, and it's a lie. And another thing too, this man named Jesus Christ that was 2,000 years ago and is today, I've never seen him, but I'm still marching. Not in seasons, but habitually, every single day. Get that mentality out of your mind. Today is the day to walk in the fear of the Almighty God. Today's the day. Nothing against Nathan. We talk once a week. Nothing. And you know that nothing against him. Nothing. He's a spectacular young man with revelation knowledge that loves Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you on Wednesdays and Sundays, if you got an ear to hear, you will be left numb in the spirit with what the Holy Ghost is bringing forth out of Pastor Bronk. Don't wait till July to get on fire for God again, my friends. That's logic. That's a lie. Well, he's our age. And no. Pastor Dave, 70-something, and I'm following his teachings. 25-year gap. So there goes that lie that me and you agreed on coming back from Tulsa. Well, he's our age. Well, Pastor Bronk's not... Pastor Bronk's about 30 years older than me. Do you see what point I'm trying to make? Gary's 70-something. I'm 26. So don't wait. Don't wait. My God, today's a day for you to be on fire for God. Today's a day for you to behold 1 John. Today's a day that you behold James. Not January, not in July for a week. Not in July for a week. Today's the day. I tell my wife in the mornings before she dropped me off, I said, today is a good day to die. I said, today's a good day to die. Not physically. And I mean it. I said, God, I'm. And I can't go into detail about stuff that's been going on. Me and Pastor Brown, not. I can't go into detail, but it's a dying process. It's a purging, dying process. I said, honey, today's a good day to die. It's a great day to die. Don't wait till July to encounter this King. Don't wait till July. Not with what is being taught on Wednesdays. The first three book of Revelations. Don't wait. Come in here on Wednesday with an ear to hear. On Sundays with an ear to hear. I can't get enough. Be honest with you. I can't get enough. Amen. So be careful when you say around me, I can't wait till July. I'm going to say, oh, you ain't going to be doing nothing till July. You little idle creature, you. Amen. Hallelujah. Wasn't being mean, was I? I've been in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Hopefully we can get this through tonight. We're all going to go together after church as young adults. Even me, my wife, and Terry, as young adults, we're going to go to the fair just a fellowship. Actually, we're going because I'm craving a Polish sausage. And it's been about 7 or 8 years where we've talked about going, but we're going tonight. I'm craving a Polish sausage with a lot of grilled onions. We'll leave it at that. But I've been going through 1 and 2 Peter over and over again. Pastor did an awesome series on this about a year ago. It was exceptional. That what 4 or 5 6 weeks, Pastor? And you know, one thing that got me with the book of 1 Peter, it's about end times, about the coming of Christ, about false teachers, scoffers that would come in the last days. But 2 Peter, the last in chapter 3, the last words, he said, I don't want you to fall from your steadfastness. He said, but grow in grace. Now, I hear people say it's all about grace. It is all about grace, but it's also about growing in grace. He said, I write unto you so you will not fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until that notable day comes, the coming of the Lord, where the elements will be burned with fire, he said, I want you to stand firm in your faith. I want to teach you so that you will never fall from your steadfastness. Now, everybody said it's all about grace. It's all about grace. And what's being taught about grace is far from the truth. Because he said, grow. He said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, grow in grace. If it was all about grace, like it's being taught, then why behold the book of 1 Peter? Then why behold the book of 2 Peter? Then why behold the book of 1 John? Then why fast? Then why wake up in the morning and say, it's a good day to die if it's all about this grace that's being taught? Why? Why do these things? But 1 Peter chapter 5, towards the end, Peter writes this, I have written and testified and exhorted that this is the true grace of God. He said, I've written to you, I've exhorted you, and testified, Ralph, that this written unto you, I have written unto you, exhorted you, and testified that this is the true grace of God. If that was the last verse of 1 Peter chapter 5, then all the rest of the other five chapters is the true grace of God. I have written to you, exhorted you, the true grace of God. The last couple of verses of chapter 5 of 1 Peter, he makes this remarkable statement. So it would be to our best interest to go through chapter 1 through 5 to find out the true grace of God. Now, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I will give you a couple of tidbits about 1 Peter chapter 1 through 5. It talks about living a holy life. Living out of that incorruptible seed. About when we revile not again. It talks about this man named Jesus Christ as the perfect example of holiness, an unblemished Lamb of God. He said, you're peculiar. You're a holy nation. You've been bought with the blood of Christ. He said, in any fiery trial that you go through, he said, don't think it's strange that you're in these fiery trials, but rejoice that the Spirit of glory and of God it rests upon you. He said, you go through that fiery trial. See, righteousness got you in trouble. And it's the same righteousness while you're in trouble that will get you out of that trouble. Don't leave it. In these last days, our righteousness is going to get us in trouble. But in that trouble, we still do not forsake righteousness. If righteousness got me in trouble, then righteousness will get me out of trouble. And if I don't get out of trouble because of that righteousness, then I stand firm and I sow a seed and whatever happens, happens. But I stand strong in my integrity. And I do not waver. But I bring my God an absolute glory. He said, this is the true grace of God. This is not what is being taught in the corporate body of Christ. He said, but you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 towards the end. 1 Peter chapter 5 towards the end. He said, I have written, testified to you the true grace of God. We don't walk in lasciviousness anymore. We're born again. We don't sin like a sinner without restraint. We're born again. The Spirit of glory and of God, it rests upon me and you. This is the true grace of God. You grow in this. You're renewed by the grace of God. By the true grace of God that Simon Peter taught. And he makes me mad. Simon Peter, I'm walking in offense towards you. He makes this statement in 2 Peter chapter 1 that drives me crazy. I'm going to back up a little bit. What he says in 1 Peter chapter 5 will leave me numb. See, I'm learning as an elder from an elder. And the elder that I'm learning from learned from the Lamb of God. Jesus was Simon Peter's example. And I'm learning from Simon Peter. What I'm learning from Simon Peter is that as Christ was his example, as Christ is my example, I'm to be your example. Not to lord over you, but by example. Mainly through conduct and living out of that incorruptible seed, but I believe I'm to be an example over the Lord's flock in all that I do. People have said to me, and I need to regress and really thank them for what they said. Well, you inspire me because you keep going. Well, you know what? That's what an elder does. We don't regress. When those doors open up, we're here. On time. That's what an elder does. At least the way I see it. What my pastor asked me to do, I do. What you ask me to do within reason, I do. Because an elder does not lord over the Lord's flock, but he is an example to the flock in all things. Not just here in the pulpit. Who taught you that? Simon Peter, an elder that sat under the ministry of God in the flesh. He makes me mad. He makes a statement in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm about to put off this, my tabernacle. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Now history states that maybe 33 years after the death of Christ that he was martyred on his own. He thought to be unworthy to be crucified like the Lamb of God. And history states that he was crucified upside down for 3 days, I think. 33 years after the death of Christ, I believe. And he has the audacity to write an epistle, his last letter. He said, I'm about to put off this my tabernacle as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown. And you get the impression that really the epistle really wasn't about him about to be martyred. Yes, he mentioned it, but he didn't go into detail about it. Like Pastor Bronk says, he was a dead man before that epistle was even written. He was a dead man before that epistle was ever written. Well, Simon Peter, do you not know that I can't see, sir? Do you not know that I have not seen my grandkids since she was born? Do you not know that I have not seen my wife, Simon Peter? You braggadocious fool, you. You know I'm being sarcastic, right? About to put off this my tabernacle, he says, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. But do you know what he said before he made that statement? Remember what I said in 2 Peter chapter 3 towards the end? He said, this letter is written to you concerning the coming of Christ, the scoffers and the false preachers and teachers that are going to come, but it's written so that you do not fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's writing to me and you so that we will not fall or depart the faith. He makes this statement before he says, I'm about to be martyred. He said, but be diligent. This is why I hear people say all the time, I want more of God. I want more of God. I want more of God. I've had to do 3 counseling sessions in the last 2 weeks, and I was very firm. And I ran it through my pastor to make sure I was not out of line. He said, no, you. I was very, very firm. In a loving way, but I was firm. See, nobody likes a good fight. Whether it's with the flesh or whether it's with Satan. Nobody likes a good fight. I want more, God. Okay, finish that fight. Finish it. Don't go to the crossroad and back up. Go through the crossroad. Go through it. If it were going to be easy, then Simon Peter would not have left me and you instruction on how to be diligent. He gave me a precise instruction to add to my faith and to be diligent. He gave me precise instruction. He knew what was coming. He was facing martyrdom. Yet he had the audacity to write, abstain from all fleshly lust that war against the soul. And he said this before he said he was going to be offered up. He was going to put off his tabernacle according to the words of Christ. He said, and add to your faith. Listen to this. We don't like a good fight. I've been through a few lately. You know what? Tomorrow's going to be a good day to die. I'm not looking for a fight. But what we're contending for, my friends, do you think Slufa's going to just stay there idle as we press in and want Stephen healed? You think he's going to be there without resistance? You think he was there without resistance in the days of Simon Peter and John and Andrew and Paul and Christ? No, they were all martyred, but John. Listen to this. Listen. Listen. We're going to face fights. We're going to face the flesh. And I'm going to say this in all humility, because somebody made this in a good friend of mine. And I think they're here tonight, but I feel okay to say it. They're a good friend of me and my wife. And I love this person with all my heart. And I hope they do not get mad that I say this, but I have to say it. And they said it with a good heart. And I answered it back with a good heart. And please, please read through this. See my heart. Person that told me this. I said, you guys, you preach on the flesh too much. Well, you know what? Let's say I don't preach on the flesh. The thing that I'm not going to preach about is still going to be there in the morning. The flesh is, if we take away the doctrine of preaching about the things in the flesh, we're going to have to edit a lot of the New Testament. Galatians, James, darkness, the gospels, living a crucified life. We're going to have to edit a whole bunch of the new covenant, and we might only have about 3 books left when we edit it all. Yes, we overcome the flesh in the spirit, absolutely, absolutely. But the flesh, not Satan, is what stops most people. They can't get over themselves. They cannot get over the things that they like to an extent. Or else, why would Simon Peter deliver such a masterpiece to me and to you on how to be diligent and how to add to our faith? He said, I'm about to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. But before he said that, he made a remarkable statement. He said, but be diligent and add to your faith, Homer. Why would you make this statement, Simon Peter? Because he knew what was going to come. He knew the resistance from the flesh. He knew the resistance from Lucifer and his devils. He knew what was going to come at the church. He knew what was going to come at the little family prayer center. He knew what was going to come. So he gave me and you instruction on how to stand our ground. Remember what he said? I don't want you to fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't fall from your steadfastness. Don't fall from your steadfastness. Don't fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you're telling me you don't want me to fall from my steadfastness, Simon Peter, but what do I do not to fall from this faith that I'm in, that I call faith in Christ? What do I do? What am I up against? If you think that amening his message is sufficient to get you to revival, you are in error of the scriptures. We are in error of the scriptures. Today is a good day to die. Tomorrow will even be a better day to die. And Tuesday and Wednesday will be great days to die. I mean that with all my heart. I'm about to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Meaning, I'm about to be martyred. But before I go, let me share with you dictation that I took from the Holy Ghost. See, Simon Peter didn't write 2 Peter or 1 Peter. He just took dictation from the Holy Ghost. That's all he did. He just took notes from the Holy Ghost. I told my wife, I'm crying already, and worship hadn't even started. See, these men are my heroes. They're my heroes. The Lamb of God is my hero. See, martyrdom is something that we lay down ourselves. Whether it's to sow a seed in a community or in a continent, in a country, or wherever it is, we lay it down. Not renouncing our faith. I want more, God. I want more, God. Well, you know what? You got to press forward, man. I want more of God. I want more of God. Do you? Do you? Well, God is in that fiery trial. He's on the other side of it too. God is in that affliction. He's on the other side of it too. Simon Peter says this. Give all diligence and add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. This next one's mine. Because it means so much to me. See, you add to your faith temperance, which is self-control. And to temperance, you add patience, the Greek word hophamone, consistency, endurance. Endurance. You add endurance to your faith. You add self-control to your faith. Why? Why do I add virtue, knowledge, temperance, endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity? Why do I add these to my faith? Why, Simon Peter? Be diligent and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you. These things be in you and abound. They neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, wherefore, make thy calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? If you add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. If you do these things, there will be, this is the part that I like, this is what he could see. This is what he could see after the martyrdom, after the 3 days being crucified upside down. This is what he could see. He could see what laid on the other side. All that he did, all that he endured, he did it for his Father that was in heaven. His Father who beheld in secret, I do this unto you, Father. Somebody needs to know about Jesus. I'll utter this last breath, Father. If this is what you're asking of me, to bring 10,000 to you, my Lord, I'll gladly give it, because an entrance will be ministered unto me abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knew what was on the other side of martyrdom. Remember, this epistle was, I don't want you to fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knew what was coming. If you do these things, he said, you will never fall. Fall from what? Your steadfastness, your faith in Christ. You will never, ever fall if you do these things that I'm asking you to do. Be careful. Be careful if you decide to heed his words, because they will take you to places that are unfathomable to you. They will take you to places that you did not know existed. Be careful if you add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Be careful if you decide to live a crucified life and say no to the flesh, because they will take you to places that you can't even imagine. Spiritually, and maybe even physically. But are you willing to add to your faith? Are you willing to be diligent against the flesh, against Satan? Because if you do these things, he said, you will never fall from your steadfastness. This is how you grow in grace. You behold 1 Peter, you behold 2 Peter, you download it, and you grow in this grace that's in the Almighty God, which is the true grace of God. He said, if you do these things, you will never fall. But at the end, there will be an entrance administered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm about to put off this, my tabernacle. I'm telling you this before I'm martyred, so that after I'm martyred, the very things that I told you before my martyrdom, keep them and do them till the end, and you will never fall from your steadfastness. This is how you grow in grace. Let go of the flesh. Say no to it. Is that gratification worth more to you than that reward on the other side? Is it worth more than Jesus and the Father seeing you on the day of judgment when he says to you, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Is gratification worth, whether it's sexual gratification or the love for money, it's broad. Is it worth? Is it worth what me and you are going to get on the other side as we serve our Father that sees in secret? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm about to put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. But before I go, this is what took me into martyrdom. And I was able to sustain it because I knew what lived on the other side. I've added to my faith. I was diligent. I added virtue, knowledge. I did these things. I did them. And martyrdom, though somebody said to me one time, well, when you're martyred, there's a special grace. No, 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 there's a special love for you, for God. God isn't going to take away the pain. And if somebody slides me a painkiller at the last minute, well, here, I mean, well, there's a special grace for martyrs. No, 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 there's a special love that the martyr has for the Father, my friends. There's a special grace, you know, it won't hurt the, okay, yeah. Tell Artipas that. What's his name, Pastor Bronkin? Tell Antipas that, as he was roasted to death. Tell him about that special grace. No, 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 no. Antipas had a special love for the Father. He laid down his life. He made his calling and election sure because he knew what laid on the other side. Satan cannot touch me and you. We add to our faith. And we do these things that the Holy Ghost is asking of us. 1 Peter chapter 5. What did he say? Be sober. And be what? Vigilant. This will ring a bell. 2 Peter chapter 3 at the end. This epistle is written so you will not fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5. Regarding a fiery trial, regarding persecution from the world, regarding persecution for your faith. In this, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the what? In the faith. How do I resist him steadfast in the faith? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, lacketh what things? The things that he mentioned for me and you to do. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Well, how do you know? Well, how do you forget that you're purged from your old sin, you might ask me, when you go back and do them? If you can't see that that habitual sin is sending you somewhere, my friend, you're blind. You are blind. Don't put up with it. You're blind. Habitual sin is what I'm saying now. Habitual. You're blind to it. If you can lift up your hands real high with habitual sin as a believer, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Don't worry about revival. You better worry about going to the other side. Am I going to make it? I've been a little lenient before. I'm telling you, my friends. Galatians chapter 5 is adamant in truth about who inherits the kingdom of God and who doesn't. So true. Don't play with a snake like Pastor Dave's always said. It will grow up and bite you and kill you. I said this the other day. I was at the house just praying. This thought came to me. And Kevin, I'm locked up in my office. So anybody comes to my office, I'm going to talk to him. I'm locked up in there all day long. And if somebody comes and talks to me, oh, come on, Kevin, sit down. We got to talk. I got to share with you some revelation. I'll sit down, Kevin. And Kevin, me and Kevin, we're great friends. And poor Kevin was just there, just minding his own, talking about football. I said, you know what, Kevin? Shut up and sit down, Kevin. Listen to me. This wasn't at him. This is just a thought that I had. I said, do you know that when the flesh, when a person allows the flesh to talk them out of prayer, that same person will allow the flesh to talk them in to committing sin. You think about that. When a believer allows the flesh to talk them out of prayer, that same flesh that talked them out of prayer is going to talk them into committing sin. It's that easy. Kevin got numb. But I wasn't talking. I was just a broad statement. It's our time. It's Stephen's time. It's Lupita's time. It's Miss Peggy's time. It's Reuben's time. We have to add to our faith. Let that instruction take us to the end. Because it's a good day to die. If you do these things, Miss Terry, you shall never fall. My God, a personal guarantee, Terry, that if I incorporate this dictation from the Holy Ghost, I will never fall. But there will be an entrance ministered unto me abundantly. That word abundantly, Kevin looked it up for me, it means superabundance, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election, make it sure. There's nothing that can be done to me and you if we add to our faith and we do these things that are asked of us. If we do these things, that, my friends, is carrying your cross. That, my friends, is saying no to the flesh. That, my friends, is the gospel of the kingdom. That, my friends, if we follow it, will make us a fisher of men. Do you have the guts to stay here and hear stuff that very few are preaching? Or are you content with quoting two or three Bible verses and doing what 95% of the body of Christ done? Or do you want to sit here, put to death the deeds in our body, and go forward and give the Father what he wants? Because miracles and salvation have never been, they're not created or work. They're never to be separate. They've always been one. Always been one. This is the gospel of the kingdom. But you have to be diligent and add to your faith temperance, endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Homer, how come you didn't say your name? You said everybody else. It was it. Why didn't you say your name? You know why, my friend? Though I believe with all my heart, and there's conviction in me now saying that I believe God will heal me, there's conviction in those words. But there's not conviction in saying that he already has. My personal conviction. Because every day I wake up thinking today's the day that I'll see my queen. But there's something else working in me. The Holy Ghost whispered to me about 6-7 months ago, what I'm doing in your spirit, what's being done in your spirit, will far exceed anything that your natural eye will ever behold. If I can stay in there and come out and love you a little bit more tomorrow, I can see. If I can see you in your weakness and not take note of it, I can see. This has come according to the word of my Father, because Jesus took our infirmities and he bare our sickness. He can't do any more than he has already done through the Christ. He can't do any more. I don't look for it. I sit there and I encounter Jesus. And the very moment that I believe what he has done, but until then, I choose to add to my faith. Because today is a good day to die. I promise you this in closing. I promise you this with all my heart. No, I'm getting hungry, so I can taste that Polish sausage. But I can promise you this. You judge. You judge. You judge. You judge this. Me loving you, or me loving him, is far exceeding ...2020 eyesight. Though it has happened according to the book, so I gotta believe what's happened. But me loving you, loving my queen and my kids, is taking precedence in my life. The words, beloved, let us love one another. I dream those words. I dream them. But I can't love you anymore unless I love him more. Because when I love him, I keep his word. Or keeping his word is loving him. If I keep his word, I love you. If I love you, I'm keeping his word. And if I'm keeping his word, I'm loving him. It's all one thought. We live out of our confession. Because when that confession comes, an unction that teaches us all things. And I can't lift my hands up in allegiance, say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then hate Terry. No. Because me loving Terry is me loving the Father. Do you have what it takes? Be diligent and add to your faith. I promise you that in itself, along with what we're taught, will take you to the other side. I'm about to put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. This is what took me to that X-shaped upside down cross, boys. This is what took me there. A self-denial of the flesh. Living my life out of my spirit. Out of the renewing of my mind. I say, don't fall from your steadfastness, my friends. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when it's all said and done, Kirsten, when I utter that last breath, when I breathe again, I'll be in the kingdom. And when I stand before him, my Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, I sure would love for him to say, I'm well pleased with you, son. I sure would love to hear them words. And we can hear them if we add to our faith and do those things that we're called to do. Let us finish. Let us finish this. Those of you that are here, you're trained, you're special force, you're special ops, you're in training, you're special ops, all of you. I don't care how much you're struggling, you're here. And you know what you were going to hear today. You were going to hear me beat you up about our flesh, and yet you still came. You're special ops, my friend. You're Navy SEALs in training, just like me. You're in training just like me. Let's keep marching. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, 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 patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, having forgot that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, my brethren, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do these things, what things? The things I listed earlier. If you do these things, there'll be an abundant entrance ministered unto you, Corelli, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about loving him and laying down our life. Are you with me? Is it going to be easy? There's days, but at the end, you're going to thank God you came and you heard the words of this man. You're going to thank God when you go to the other side. And there's a big old fat reward there as the Lamb of God beholds you and kisses you and tells you, good job, Kirsten. You're going to thank that man on the other side that he taught me and you truth about the flesh and about walking in the Spirit. We're going to thank him one day if we stand here and do not abort. We cannot abort. It's easy to abort, but we cannot and we will not. We stand here, we sit here, and we pray, and we seek Jesus, and we get rid of ourselves. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, now for the good stuff. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Glory. A little bit of grace there, Ralph? We're going to go to the fairgrounds, all of us. Everybody's invited. Just going to go and just as young adults, just to go fellowship. We're not going to stay very long. We'll get me a polar sausage. Maybe two. I can't because I'm grown. But guys, were you saying something? Okay. First and Second Peter. I've been going through them for years. Find your camp. Find your pastor. Pastor, stay there. Stay there. I'm telling you, stay there. He knows what you need. Stay there. It'll affect you. Amen. Stand with me, please. Polish sausage, here I come. Hey. Woo. Pastor, you want to dismiss us in prayer, Pastor Bronk, please?
Father, we just thank you and praise you for this night. We thank you for this really fine crowd. And Lord, especially for the pure gold that we heard here tonight, and we so much appreciate it. We thank you for the instrument that you used. We thank you for the anointing in Homer's life and the inspiration that we're receiving from him as a man of God teaching us the Word of God. Now we pray that these things will be held and kept strong and diligent inside of us. Lord, bless our time together. Bless everything that's going on the remainder of the evening. Keep us safe, Lord, and guide us and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.